Hello and welcome, everyone, to good old Rocky Talk, the Vol Society podcast. I'm your host, Brad, here with my partners, the Davids. We're glad you're listening wherever you are. This is good old Rocky Talk. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of good old Rocky Talk. Very excited to be here today. We are one day away from our first really big test to see what this team is made of. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Brad Frank, founder of Vol Society. Here today with my two partners, we're back, the three amigos. I've got David Dees with us. I've got David Morrison with us. Guys, how are we doing today?
We're doing well, Brad. The college football world is going to watch what happens this Saturday in Knoxville as Georgia takes on Tennessee. Very unusual. We played them in September. It's been a very long time, but... It's still the same intense rivalry, and we're going to learn a lot of stuff this Saturday.
We are. David Dees, how you doing, man? It's good to have you back for another season.
You guys have been on this podcast for a while. Yeah, I've been off the podcast for a little bit, so I'm rusty, but I tell you, I'm excited. Excited to see Tennessee and Georgia play tomorrow. I'll be there in person at Neyland Stadium, ready for the game. So
it's good to have you
excited.
Back, man.
Good to be with
good
you
to
guys
you
today.
All right, let's take this music down. Let's get to business, guys. Hey, listen, thank you if you're tuning in. Thank you for joining us again. Couldn't make it on the podcast. If you're a fan, you didn't see us on here last week doing episode 2. So this is technically our episode 2 of season 4. Traveling last week and a lot just going on. And honestly, let's be real. It was ETSU. Not much to talk about. But we do have some things we want to talk about today. I am very excited. It's the first time I'm really excited about the season. First big test, we've got Georgia coming into town tomorrow, 3:30 kickoff. We've got ESPN Game Day going to be there. I mean, could you ask for anything better than this, guys? Seriously. Is the weather, and by the way, I don't live in Tennessee anymore. I'm in Charlotte. Haven't checked the weather and all that. Can anyone tell me what the weather's looking like? ETSU is a little bit of a mess. Is it football weather or is it rainy, cloudy? What?
It'll be a little warmer than it was last week. It'll be like mid-80s, but it should be nice. It's supposed to be sunny and should be a nice day. As long as all you right. Come out in the mornings and it's in the low 60s and it doesn't get into the 90s and the humidity's low, it's a beautiful day. So I'm happy.
Well, when you have that little tinge, we always talk about that every
year. That's
right.
Year. There's a fall tinge.
Around this time, you get that little tinge, right? And that, you know, it's coming. It's the best time of the year. But now listen, I know this is a podcast and it's audio only, but we do upload video clips from here and there. And for those of you who are not seeing this, I mean, I tried to set it up as best I could. I mean, look at this visual behind me, guys. I mean, does this not say it all? You've got to my left, maybe you're right. I don't know how this works. You got Kirby looking dead in the eyes of Mr. Josh Heupel. I mean, look at these guys behind me, guys. Hey, this is what it's all about. This guy right here, Mr. Kirby, has had the upper hand on Heupel for many years. In fact, he's won every year against Heupel. Is this going to be the year Heupel can do it? That's what we're going to talk about for the next few moments. I want to get everybody's take on this. And if you're listening, be sure to subscribe to our Facebook page, social media page. This is a program part of Vol Society, VOL Society. You can find us all over social media. growing to close to 60,000 followers on Facebook right now. So thank you, fans. But let's get into this real quick, guys. We don't have much time today. So I want to start first with David Dees on this one, because I usually, when we go into these shows, I have an idea. David and I will chat and I kind of know where his head's at. This is the first time. And, you know, maybe we should do this going forward where I don't have a clue what the two of you are thinking. I think it might make it a little more entertaining for the show. Dees, I want to start with you. Where's your head at? And I want you to be completely honest up front. You can say it all. Put it all out there. Do you think we have a chance? Do we not have a chance? What's your concerns? What are you excited to see? Go for it. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm just going to process this out loud. So I don't really know what to think about this game, to be honest. I don't think we know a whole lot about either team this season. I think both these first two games, you can throw them out the window. Two, you know, the Syracuse ETSU game, throw it out the window. Georgia's played Marshall and Austin Peay, throw it out the window. I do know that Georgia's had the upper hand the last few years. We've talked about that. They've been able to stop our run with a light box on defense because they've got these big pro caliber NFL defensive tackles that can dominate and take over games for them. They've got really good pass defense. They've got corners that can match up one-on-one and play press man coverage on the edges against our wide receivers. However, and then defensively last year, we looked lost most of the game, to be honest, against Georgia. They picked us apart over the middle. Those tight ends wore us out. And it just Tim Banks did not have a good day last year against Georgia. And actually, the last couple of years, it's been an issue. However, I think Heupel has really drawn up some good stuff and has retooled the offense to combat a lot of what Georgia does. I think you'll see a lot more kind of rub plays where they bunch wide receiver sets and they try to pick guys open a little bit. I think they're going to do more in the screen game this year. And I think, obviously, let's talk about it. We've got, I think, a better quarterback this year than we've had the last couple of years. This guy actually goes through his progressions. He doesn't seem to panic. If his primary target's not there, he doesn't just tuck and run and leave like Nico did last year. This is a guy who's actually looking through the field and going through his progressions. And so I think that gives Tennessee an advantage that we've not had in a couple of years, maybe since Hendon Hooker, because I don't think you saw that out of Joe Milton, and I don't think you saw that out of Nico. So this guy's playing well so far against inferior competition. Obviously, this will be a big test for him. But I really like what I've seen out of Joey Aguilar right now. So his play and kind of the way the offensive line has looked through 2 weeks, and I think our receivers have been fine. I want to see him against these Georgia DBs. But I feel encouraged about what I'm seeing right now to feel like Tennessee has a shot this year. And back in 2022, when Hooker was here and we were looking like we were heading towards a college football playoff and a Hendon Hooker Heisman run, before that Georgia game, I called the shot. And I said, we're going down there and we're kicking their ass this year. And I'm not going to do that today, but I will say, based on the last couple of years, I think this year is our best opportunity to do it. And I give us a really good chance. And I think the crowd's going to help. Being at home is going to help. Getting them early in the year is going to help. So I think we definitely have a chance.
All right, man, that was a great take, man. Seriously, thanks for sharing that. Very interesting, and I do love that. I love how you ended that, you know, that we do have a chance. This is probably our best. We're set up for our best chance to actually do it this time. So anyway,
hey, give me 20 more minutes, and I'll be shouting out that we're going to kick their ass. I'll get more and more excited.
Of course you are.
Give me 20
more
minutes. You guys fire me up. You guys fire me up.
Oh, yeah. That's always my goal by the end of the show is where you're basically ripping your shirt off, running in the background. You come back into the screen, and you've already had your face and your chest painted orange and white. Don't know how that would be possible unless you've got it sitting on the side ready to go. But that's what I'm trying to do mentally is, like, get you in that zone.
Hopefully we can do that for our fans today, people listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Morrison, all right, we just heard from Dees. Give me your thoughts now.
Yeah, a lot of it I'm just going to kind of echo Dees. We don't know a lot about either of these teams. You have from Georgia's side, you know, the last couple of weeks they play kind of inferior opponents. They had that wacky weather delay with Austin Peay, and you got a first-year starter in Gunnar Stockton, who's, I think, making only his fourth start, first true road game for him. So how is Georgia going to adjust the offense around him with, you know, obviously going to be a rowdy and rambunctious crowd in Neyland on Saturday. You know, how's our defense going to react to him? He's a dual threat guy. And I know I've been kind of listening to some Georgia fans, you know, their media people and talking about how Gunner can run and all that stuff. And he's not afraid to take hits. And I'm thinking in my mind, it's like, if I'm a running quarterback, I don't know if I want to be hit by Edwin Spielman or a Boot Carter or an Arian Carter on those runs. But, you know, we shall see. Best of luck to him if he tries that out. But, you know, and then you look at offensively for Tennessee with Joey Aguilar. This is the nation's first real look at him. I know we had a national televised game against Syracuse, but most of the country is watching Texas and Ohio State. So now all eyes are going to be focused on Joey Aguilar. And we've heard the, you know, everything going on with Nico at UCLA. And now, you know, okay, is this Joey Aguilar guy really the real deal at Tennessee, or, you know, what do we expect to see from him? You know, and also just, you know, how's the offense going to click against Kirby's defense? How's Josh Heupel going to dial up? You know, what kind of game plan Joey Halsley, and we've mentioned on other platforms, you know, bringing in the two analysts and Landry Jones and Seth Luttrell, what kind of scheme are they going to do to stop this Georgia defense? And, you know, I think it's, you know, we'll get to score predictions later on, but, you know, I think it's going to be just an old school grinded out SEC game. I don't think we're going to light up the scoreboard a whole lot, but, you know, thing is for me is this is your best chance to get Georgia early on while they're still trying to figure it out. The schedule does work in your favor. You're at home. Kind of wish it was a night game, but whatever. Like I said, this is, we haven't had these many chances to knock off a team early on. And this game kind of reminds me of some of those Tennessee Florida games that we normally play in the third Saturday in September, kind of back in the 90s and 2000s, where both teams were still trying to figure out. And it kind of has that same level of excitement, except instead of Florida, it's Georgia. Special teams, I think, is going to be big. Flipping field position around. I think third downs are going to be really critical, especially if Tennessee wants to keep up in this game. You're going to have to win those third down battles offensively and defensively. I mean, we know the crowd's going to get hopped up and stuff, but, you know, our crowd, I love them to death, but we can only do so much. You know, you still got to go out there and you got to still execute those plays. I think you need to find a way to not play safe to Gunner Stockton. Because we have saw this before where it's like, you know, you had of a either an inexperienced quarterback or a quarterback that hadn't had a big game yet, then all of a sudden goes off for 350 against us. So, I mean, that you're going to have to find a way to contain him, find a way to contain Nate Frazier. These wide receivers for Georgia are pretty legit. They brought in Zachariah Branch from USC, who's also dangerous in the return game. Noah Thompson for Texas A&M. They also brought back Dylan Bell and London Humphreys. So how's our secondary going to do? You're going to have, and we haven't touched this either. No Jermaine McCoy, for Saturday, no Ricky Gibson. So your two top corners are out, which we knew McCoy wasn't going to play. So how is Colton Hood and the true freshman, Ty Redmond going to handle those wide receivers? That's going to be another big key factor. You know, they're going to be some nerves or whatever. So a lot to ride on. We're going to answer. We'll find out a lot on Saturday, and I'm excited about
100%. Awesome. Thanks for your take on that. Very, very good, well thought out takes by both Davids. So I appreciate that. I'll give you mine real quick. Where do I start? Here's the best way for me to say this. This is definitely the year I think we're going to do it. I really feel it. Morrison, Deez, you both know. We've talked about this. It's the one game I said before football even started this year, I think Tennessee's going to do it this year. The setting couldn't be better. The setup couldn't be better. We've got Georgia. You both just echoed on this. I'm just echoing this. So we have Georgia early this year. That plays in our favor. No question. We have them in Neyland Stadium. I don't care what people say. I know we haven't had success with them in Neyland under Josh Heupel. I understand. But that crowd does play an effect for sure. We have the best fan base in the world. So getting them early, getting them with a new quarterback this year as well, and getting them with a team that we really don't know how good they are. I really don't, in my opinion, think they're that good as people think they are. We'll find out tomorrow. You know, and then the other thing, guys, and I want to highlight on this, and this is where my thought process came into play before the season even started. Go back, and Morrison, we talked about this. Look at last year's games Georgia had. Just go back and look. And they don't even have the same quarterback, new quarterback. And I'm not saying this quarterback there now is bad, but last year they barely beat Kentucky by 1 point. Right? 13-12, barely even scored points, right? What are some other games? Alabama got them last year, 41-34. Close game, though. Auburn, 31-13. I'll get to the good ones here. Hold on. Georgia, Mississippi State last year, 41-31. I mean, look at this. I mean, they're letting teams put up points on them. Barely beat Florida last year. And then I think there was another one that was interesting. Oh, the Georgia Tech game. At Georgia, wasn't it? Wasn't that at Georgia? I think it was at Georgia. Overtime, 44-42. Here's my point. They got, I would call that a lot of luck last year, some of those games. It could have gone either way, right? Some of those. And they did it. Whatever. Now they got a new quarterback. What my biggest concern was when I made these predictions early on before the year was, what is our quarterback going to do? We said it in the first podcast, Morrison. I said, I don't know anything about Aguilar. Nothing. I know he's at App State. This is a different league. He's in the SEC. Can this guy keep his composure and perform under pressure? Dees, Morrison, I think you both said it yourself. I heard it. I heard the words in there when you were talking about this guy. I don't care who we played. I know it was ETSU last week, Syracuse first week. I'm going to tell you right now what I do know. I know that guy, Joey Aguilar, is calm, he's poised, and this guy does not let that crap get to him. You can see it displayed day one. I thought he'd be out there. You put anybody else in that position, I don't see them doing that well. Coming out, look at Eric. We said it, Eric Ainge, his first year, when he came out, he was shaky. He could feel the pad shaking. It's intimidating until you get used to it. This guy came out in Syracuse in your stadium, Dees, the Falcon Stadium, in front of a crowd on national television, and the guy looked like he'd been playing in the SEC his whole life.
Well, keep in mind he's 24 years old. He's played a lot of football. He's not had good talent around him. He's at App State. He didn't have a lot of talent. He has gone against Clemson and some big name teams, but he's never had the help around him. And so I'm excited to see him get this opportunity against Georgia with the help around him in an SEC game at home. I'm sure I just feel comfortable about the way he's playing. I think he sees the whole field. I think, like you said, Brad, I think he's calm. I think he's patient. And he knows what he's looking for. I love that he can use his legs. I just want him to get down. You can't take shots in this game like he did against Syracuse. You got to get down on the ground. Don't let these Georgia guys tee off on you.
Yeah. And guess what else he is? All those things, calm, collective. He is a freaking leader, man. I can see it in him. We have not had that in a while. He's a leader. People want to play for him, right? Hey, we did a post on social media the other day. I'm telling you, this guy's the real deal in terms of an all-around. He's got it. I'm telling you, the guys want to play with him. I did a post last week on social media of the Vol Walk. Did you guys see this? I know you did. You're part of the team. So, posted it. He did the Vol Walk. I did a photo post of him hugging his – he had like 14 or 20, I don't know, family members at that game, including his grandmother, and he was hugging, giving her a kiss in the Vol Walk. I'm going to tell you right now, and by the way, that thing went extremely viral. I think it's working on 20,000 likes right
14
now.
14 family post. Members? That's 14 family members is like 2,986 less than what Nico had coming to watch him at Neyland Stadium. So there you go.
Yes. Listen, this guy's all in, and his family's all in. They're the sweetest people. You can just tell, like, he's here for the right reasons. Guys, when you're doing something for the right reasons, everything will fall into place. It will.
He's here because UCLA threw him out like garbage for Nico.
Is it not the greatest story?
What a story.
Is that not,
if he wins right? If he wins this ball game tomorrow, that's hero status around here. And he's going to be the talk of college football. He already is, but he's going to be even in a greater way tomorrow if he pulls that off.
David, you make a great point. You said hero status. Listen, we all know the power of Tennessee and what winning big games and stuff will do to you. You're exactly right. He wins tomorrow, Dees Morrison. You're right. He will be considered. It doesn't matter what happens the rest of the year, in my opinion. They could lose every other game the rest of the year. But if he wins tomorrow for that brief moment, I am telling you, you're right, Dees. Hero status. He will forever be. He's already a forever of all, in my opinion. I just love this guy. But you're right. It'll be ingrained forever.
So, Joey, here's the guy that beat
Georgia in Neyland.
When you think back, this game lines up to me kind of similarly. Obviously, it's earlier in the year, but it lines up to me similarly to 2022 Alabama, right? It's at home. It's our biggest home game of the year. We've not beaten them in 8 years. All that same stuff that kind of was going on during the Alabama game. When I think of that Alabama game in 2022, a few heroes come to mind. A few guys who have big moments in that Alabama game come to mind. Yeah. You can rattle them off, right? Obviously, Hendon Hooker, but you think of the catch that Brew McCoy made on that last drive.
Unbelievable.
You think of, obviously, Chase McGrath making the last second field goal. Who are some other ones, guys? There's some other plays, key plays.
Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, Jalen Hyatt, obviously.
Exactly. God. Remember the iconic Jalen Hyatt catch? Remember that one where he caught it down the middle and he's just running away with it, right? The defenders are just chasing it. Oh, it's an iconic photo.
Iconic moments for Tennessee football. Iconic. And now with social media, it's national. I would say it's even like a national league. Like, everybody's going to remember that Jalen Hyatt game.
100%.
Who are the guys tomorrow that are going to be the heroes to win this game? There's going to be a few key plays in the game tomorrow that are going to either go our way or they're not. Who are going to be the guys that get it done for Tennessee tomorrow?
Guys, I got goosebumps as you're saying this. I have goosebumps as you're saying that. I'm not kidding you. There are going to be heroes in that game tomorrow. There are going to be key plays that determine.
I want to know who you think they're going to be. Who are they going to be?
You want me to tell you who I think they're going to be? I'll go ahead and throw it. I'm going to give you the obvious one. I'm going to give you the obvious one. I think Aguilar is going to make a huge statement tomorrow. He's already made a statement.
So Joey Aguilar, that's one.
So Aguilar is going to be one. All right. The other one I think is going to be what's his name? Who's going to be throwing to? Mike Matthews is going to have a big game tomorrow.
Mike Matthews.
Okay. Just I want you to understand, Mike Matthews is going to do something tomorrow. You watch and see. He's going to be a pivotal. He's going to be a big playmaker tomorrow. I really believe that. You know who else? I'll tell you this. I have been so impressed. And again, it's hard to say. I hate to be like this because people are going to think, oh my God, you haven't played anyone yet. And yeah, you're right. Have you not been impressed with our running backs so far? Yeah. Our run game has been pretty. And I don't care if it's ETSU. I don't care if it's Syracuse. You can still see, you know, when you see a guy who can run, you know, you can see, I don't care who they're playing. And these guys run with authority, right? Smarts and athletic ability and just hard nose, hitting the gap. I mean, I'm telling you, it's amazing what I've seen so far. I think our running backs are going to be huge in this game tomorrow.
I was just about to say Star Thomas would be mine.
Mm. Boom. Mm. Come on, guys.
Love it.
Yeah, and you got a three-headed monster in the backfield. You know, Georgia's always had these three-headed monsters, but you look at Star Thomas transferred in from Duke. You look at Deshaun Bishop, second-year local kid.
I think Peyton Lewis is going to do something tomorrow. Peyton Lewis is
so underrated. I mean, the dude 100% has really put on a lot of weight. I mean, so underrated. He really can be an all-SEC running back.
I agree, Morrison. Jamal Lewis. I'm posting that on freaking social media, buddy. He is underrated. Okay. You're right, bro. I agree with you.
And I mean, no disrespect to Star Thomas and Deshaun Bishop. They're doing great. But, I mean, playing Monday morning quarterback, I would use Peyton Lewis a lot more. He would be my feature back. There's not too many running backs that has the size and strength and the ability that he has.
It's super the ability. He's very agile. Underrated. He's good. You're right.
Yes.
I agree with you. Let me ask you a question. We all love the guy. I know he's had some issues there at the beginning of the season. Boo Carter going to be a playmaker tomorrow, guys?
You're going to need him.
It's obvious to say, but I'm going to tell you right now.
He better be.
Bingo, D's. Say it again, louder.
He better be.
He better be.
I want to see a punt return housed, and I want to see
Game-changing moment.
Packages. Yeah, I'd have them all over the place.
Listen,
you got two of the best returners in college football.
You got that
going
right.
to play Zachariah Branch at Georgia and Boo Carter at Tennessee. They are two playmakers.
100%.
The return game is going to be probably what makes and breaks this game.
Listen,
if you can get hopefully Boo, if Boo can get down there and pick up a good 35 yards on a return, and you know, I mean, he's knock on wood hasn't fumbled, but if he can get down there and pick up a good 35 yard return, you're great. You're in great position to score, even if it's just a field goal.
Morrison, you said it. You hit it on the head. That is the difference between a win versus a loss. Special teams. If Boo Carter just does one or two things that are special, you said who's gonna be a hero tomorrow, right? Boo Carter, if you look at it from a numbers perspective, like you're putting percentage, who has the highest percentage of doing what or whatever. Boo Carter, statistically, we've seen what this guy. This guy's magical. He's incredible. If he will utilize it, he is statistically the highest for me to make a play that's going to be a game changer. And you're right. He's either going to run one back or he's going to get massive yards that's going to set us up for some kind of a win. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and he's got to do it. Like David D said on that, he's got to do it.
I'll give you my guys. I'll give you my guys, all right? And this is a little different. I think, obviously, interior line play is going to be huge tomorrow. It always is. And Georgia's had the better upper hand the last few years. Yeah, if Tennessee wins this game tomorrow, it's going to be because, and we've just learned today that David Sanders, it looks like he's going to be out tomorrow again for the third straight week in a row. Like. So no David Sanders. The topic all week around town was, is David Sanders going to start at right tackle, or are they going to leave Jesse Perry there? How are they going to handle that if he's ready to play? It sounds like they're not going to have to worry about it. He's not playing tomorrow. So my question is, I feel great about our left and right tackle. Lance Hurd, Jesse Perry,
fantastic.
No worries. Yep. Where I want to see us win tomorrow, at least hold up. You don't have to win every single rep, but you got to hold up. I want to see the three interior linemen with Sam Pendleton at center. I want to see Wendell Moy at right guard, who they moved over since Jesse Perry's had to slide over to right tackle. And I want to see Sham Umarov at left guard, who's been the kind of guy they've inserted since David Sanders has been out. He's been the fifth or the sixth lineman to move in and start playing. I want to see if three of those guys in the middle have success tomorrow and hold up. If they can hold up for the majority of that ball game for Tennessee, I think we're celebrating a win here tomorrow night. I think it's that important. If those three guys can hold up tomorrow, it's going to be a huge deal, and I think Tennessee will win the game. It's a big question. It's a big question. It's tough. It's a tall order. It's a tall order. But if those three guys can hold up tomorrow, I think it's huge for Tennessee.
I agree. It is. People don't, you know, we always want to talk about the star folks, right? Your star positions, your quarterbacks, your receivers, your running backs. But I'm going to tell you, you know, as a guy, you know, you all know football. As a guy who played on the line back in the day, it is, those folks are nothing without solid line play.
Well, and especially against Georgia. Against Georgia,
and especially against the powerhouse.
It's imperative.
Like that.
Yep. You think about 2022 against Alabama, the Tennessee-Alabama game. Coming into that week, the big question mark for Alabama and for Tennessee was could they block Will Anderson? Will Anderson coming off the other at defensive end. And who was one of the heroes of that game that we failed to mention earlier because he's on the offensive line? Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright shut him down, took him out of the game. Darnell Wright became a top 15 draft pick that game because he shut down Will Anderson for four quarters. I'm not as much worried about Georgia's pass rushers. They've got them, and they're good, but I feel comfortable about our tackles. What separates Georgia from most teams is their interior line, their interior defensive tackles can pass rush, and they've got their ability to get in and flush the quarterback out of the pocket is amazing. So if Tennessee's interior of their offensive line can hold up against that Georgia front, it's going to be huge tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Morrison, any other athletes, key positions you want to highlight on?
I guess if we go on the defensive side, you know, I kind of briefly talked about the secondary a little bit. You know, talked about Colton Hood, talked about Tide Redmond. Safeties, I think, are going to be important too. Just staying in position. So Caleb Beasley, Edrix Farouk, Boo Carter, who's going to play the star. We've touched on him quite a bit. He's going to play out there too. So that just having guys lined up. And the other thing is just what's hurt us in the past with games like Georgia, Bama, Florida is, you know, there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be penalties.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you respond from it? What we have, you know, something goes it doesn't go our way, and then we kind of shut down, or we let it mentally play with us. You got to stay in the game for all four quarters. You know, if you have a pass interference penalty, so be it. You got to go back out there and play. You can't just let that eat at you throughout the whole game, and that's where we've been hurt in the past.
Yeah.
So, Aaron Carter on the defensive side, get his guys ready. Even on the offensive side, Joey, get his guys ready. But that's the thing is, you know, it's not going to be a clean game. You're going to see a lot of yellow hankies come out there. Some of them, we're going to scratch our heads. But make sure that it doesn't affect you.
One concern I have in terms of clean game, and you're right, you got to cut the penalties down. The reason, one of the biggest reasons we beat Alabama in 2022 is because they had 17 penalties in that game against Alabama.
That's right.
Exactly.
In this game, we got to minimize, obviously, all that. But what concerns me, one thing, and I don't want to jinx anybody, but it's happened 2 weeks in a row, is we've either had a bad RPO handoff exchange week one between Joey Aguilar and Star Thomas. And then last week, there was a bad snap from Sam Pendleton to Joey Aguilar down around ETSU's goal line. That's why they got one of their touchdowns. You got to clean that up. You can't do that kind of stuff against Georgia this week. That stuff's got to go. You got to play no turnovers and stupid turnovers like that. If you're taking a chance down, you know, throwing up a deep ball and you get picked off, okay, so be it. But something like that, that can change the course of the ball game.
You're totally right. Great point. And that's you're exactly right. Turnovers, penalties, we have to limit those. I know I'm stating the obvious. I know everybody in the world does this.
It's just scary because we've seen them do it 2 weeks in a row. So clean it up.
Exactly.
None of that crap this week.
Yep. But we state it the obvious because it's so true. You go back when you look at wins and losses, any team, it's turnovers are and penalties are it's crucial. Whoever has the least usually will win that game, right? It's just the way it works. So, and I know they know this, it's the obvious, but we got to do that. So, man, I'm excited. Hey, I don't know if anybody said anything about this guy or not, but I think tight end's gonna have a good game. I think Miles Kitzelman's gonna, I think we're gonna get some good stuff from him. I really do. I think there's going to be a few key plays that we're going to utilize him. And, you know, anyways.
I agree with you.
I think he'll have a good game, so I want to throw him out there as well.
I love, through 2 weeks, Braylon Staley's been my favorite of our wide receivers. I really like him. I think he's really good.
He is awesome.
But this week, I think Mike Matthews is very important. And I think Josh Heupel's ability to get him matched up on like a nickelback or get him matched up on, some competitive matchups, I think will be huge. Huge for him, and I think they need to do a lot of that early because he seemed to be growing in confidence last week. And I think if you can get him off to a good start this week, it's gonna help further him along.
So good. So my last little segue here, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. We've talked mostly right about players that are going to make the difference between a win and a loss. But I would be remiss not to say this, to hint on this, and I want to spend just a moment on this. Yeah, it's the players out there doing it, but I want to be honest with you. I'd be remiss not to talk about this, but what about, I think it's important to talk about coaching. It's Heupel and 100%. Tim Banks. Now listen, I love Heupel. I think he's the guy. I think he's awesome. What he's done so far in year five with him? Is that right? Keep me honest. I think it's year five. Yeah. I love him, everything he's doing, but let's be honest, is he going to be able to take that next step as a coach to win this kind of game tomorrow? And I have the faith in him, but we got to talk about that, man, coaching, Heupel, and more importantly, in my opinion, it's not really Heupel in this regard, Tim Banks, man, I love this guy. He is absolute. I would never at this point be like, I want him gone. He's no good. Let's get somebody else in. I love him. He's solid. He's a proven guy, but he's also proven in big games, certain big games. I question things with his coaching. That doesn't mean I don't love him. He's a great coach, but is he going to make the step in the stand tomorrow to call a heck of a game on defense?
You got to. I mean, the thing is with Tim Banks, you know, we know what kind of blitz packages and what kind of coverage packages he can dial up. But like you said, Brad, in these big games, and, you know, we talked about before, like quarterbacks that you don't expect to have much of a game against us because our defense is so tough and, you know, yeah, top 10 right. defense. And then all of a sudden they look like a Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so.
He needs to be able to put it all together. For sure. Because he's had he's highs. Go ahead.
I think he's a really good coach. I think he prepares our players really well. I think the last 2 years, Georgia in particular, and I know Mike Bobo was their coordinator last year and he is this year. I don't know if he was 2 years ago or not. However, those two ball games, he had no answers. And it was really adjustments as the game went along that really exposed that further. So we've got to be able to keep up with adjustments. Georgia's outcoached us the last few times. Now, it's easy to do that when you've got better players. Like, don't get me wrong, they've got five stars all across the board at every single position. So it's easier to outcoach somebody when you have the talent. However, I felt like there was just not enough last year. I mentioned earlier where we just tight ends over the middle. They kept running crossers, and our linebackers didn't know what they were doing, and it kept getting guys open. And they just beat us to death with that. Yeah, so it's huge. He's got to have a better game plan this year. Offensively, the knock on us has been, hey, we've started these ball games with Georgia really well. The scripted plays in the very beginning, march right down the field on them and score. It's been as the game has gone along and it's become man-on-man is where it's kind of gone off the rails for us.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think penalties were huge last year as well. We had some really bad penalties called against us against Georgia. Ones that as a Tennessee fan, I didn't agree with. I think it really killed our momentum in several spots. But I just think Heupel and the offense is going to have a really good game plan this year, and I think you'll be able to see that. And a big part of that is because of Joey Aguilar and having a quarterback who's going to go through his progressions and who's not just going to bail every single time his primary receiver is covered up. I think that's going to allow Heupel to do a lot more this year. But, yeah, you got to see it from the defense. Defense is the biggest thing for me. That's where I felt like the matchup has really been off in this series is Tim Banks against their OC, and it's just not gone well. So he's got to make some improvements and figure some things out this year and adjust as the game goes along to be successful.
Yeah,
and
well
you look
said.
At Tim,
well said.
Yeah, definitely. And you look at Tim Banks in general, like during the offseason, his name comes up for head coaching jobs and D coordinator jobs. So it's not like, you know, he's terrible. So, I mean, people love him.
He's really good. And his defenses are well prepared and they're well coached. They're fundamentally sound for the most part. You're not going to see film on Tennessee like you saw on Alabama's defense this year, week one. You're not going to see that where they're not setting the edge, where they're not. Yeah, you're not going to see that.
But here's the thing. He is very good. He is very, very good. I agree. I say that 1,000%. I love this guy. The number one thing I got from you, David, and I agree with you 100% on that. The word that stood out to me was adjustments. If we all have issues where we all have our growing points, right? That is my biggest thing for him. I love him. Everything else he does is fantastic. I love his mind, his defensive mind. But the adjustments is the next thing. I need to see Tim Banks take it up a notch with adjustments. That's been the biggest thing I've noticed. When people are throwing things at us on offense, we don't adjust in time.
I want him to be multiple tomorrow. I want him to throw a lot of different looks at this quarterback. It's his first start on the road in the SEC. I want him confused. I want a lot of zone pressures. I want to come in and out of zone and man. I want to show him a lot of different stuff so that he can't just because he's already going to be playing in a road environment. That's going to make him frazzled. That's going to throw off their timing. Yeah. And the more he has to think tomorrow, the more you're going to be able to affect their offense and affect him as a quarterback.
That's a great point.
You got to obviously slow down their run because they're going to try to get the run game going to help him out So the run game, run defense tomorrow is something I really want to see. We struggled with that against Syracuse, surprisingly. It didn't look good against Syracuse. So I want to see what we do in the run defense this week. And if you can set the tone there early, it's going to only help you in dealing with Gunnar Stockton. As many third and long, second and longs we can get them in and behind the chains, the better. And then on offense, we cannot get in any third and longs. We are awful in third and longs against Georgia. We hardly ever convert them. So you got to stay out of it. You got to stay ahead of the chains. Penalties have a lot to do with that. But you got to get the run game going and stay out of third and longs. You cannot be in third and longs tomorrow.
That's a good point. Good point.
Yeah. One last thing about talking about coaches. You know, you look at Josh Heupel's time at Tennessee, kind of his legacy run so far. You know, in 5 years, you know, he's already beat Bama twice. He's beat Florida twice. He's got a win over LSU, got a win over A&M. Georgia is the big one. And if you find a way to pull this out on Saturday, you have to consider Josh Heupel a top five coach in the SEC, maybe even top three. Just because,
no question.
And especially where we were back at the start of the 21 season and Josh Heupel's first run, you know, a joke of a team in the league in last place. And here we are now, and, you know, we've made great strides under his tenure. But, you know, there's still some other goals out there, but the one in the regular season, he hasn't got the Georgia win. You know, is this the year that he takes that next step in his coaching legacy? And, you know, even we've talked about, you know, even Heupel's name has been brought up in the offseason for other schools, but now it's going to take a pretty penny to get him out of Knoxville. But, and he's locked term till 2030. But this is a game, this is a pretty important game for his legacy. And I'm not saying he's going on hot seat talk, but it is very similar to what happened with Philip Fulmer. It was like, okay, Coach Fulmer, you beat all these teams, but man, that Florida game, which he did beat Florida on a few different occasions. But, you know, I think this is the perfect opportunity for Josh Heupel. And it seems like he's done a great job meeting expectations and feels like his back is against the wall and comes out fighting.
I love the word you use there, opportunity. That's what this is tomorrow. It's an opportunity for Tennessee to beat Georgia at home. It's an opportunity to set up your season. Our schedule this year is, we've all commented on it, it's not super hard. It could be a lot worse. You look at Florida, you look at Oklahoma, their schedules, it could be a lot worse. If we win this game tomorrow, it's a huge opportunity. It sets us up so that the rest of the year, you're in the driver's seat pretty much. You're in control. We've seen what we've seen Alabama through 2 weeks. We've seen what we've seen out of Florida this past 2 weeks. Those both look like more winnable type games, even though they're on the road and they'll be difficult. Those are winnable type games based on what we've seen so far. So tomorrow is huge. If you can, it's an opportunity. And it's. I don't look at that as an indictment on Heupel if he loses or anything like that. I just think it's a great opportunity. And if you go out and take advantage of it, a lot of good things will come from it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's a good opportunity. Let's go with that word. This is a great opportunity to now go to our last segment to wrap this show up. Can Heupel, will he take that opportunity to beat the Bulldogs tomorrow? Well, how about we end the show like we normally do, guys? And by the way, before we do so, I got to tell you, this was an excellent show with you guys. I really like how this went. We kind of just got down to business and gave all three takes on this game, what our thoughts are, key players. This is the way you do football breakdowns. You know, kind of just sitting around over a cup of coffee at a diner and just talking it through, man. We hope you've all fans enjoy this as well. But I had a good time with you guys. I hope you did as well. But let's do this, guys, before we close it out. Can Tennessee win tomorrow? And not only that, we're going to get your predictions right now. We're going to throw it out there. And I want to start with David Morrison. David Morrison, give us your final score prediction for tomorrow's game at Neyland Stadium.
This is probably the toughest game I have ever tried to predict. I've went back and forth and went with Tennessee one night, went with Georgia next night. Yeah, I finally kind of got set it up Tuesday night. So I'm going to stick with what I said Tuesday night. I think Tennessee wins in a dogfight. It's going to be an instant classic in Neyland Stadium, and it's going to be a legacy win for Josh Heupel and the Vols. So I'll go Tennessee 20, Georgia 18. Do I have any confidence in that pick? No, I do not. But what the hey? Let's go with the Vols 20-18.
And a 20-18.
20-18. And we're tearing down them goalposts and throwing them in the river one more time. Because we got the money to afford some new ones.
You know what? I do want to, before we go to these, you make a good point. I am curious. Let's take this prediction as well. You said goalposts getting tore down again, fans. Do you think that would happen if we do that? I'm just out of curiosity. D's, Morrison, well, if we win in Neyland, is it going to be similar to an Alabama where they're going to rush the field and tear goalposts down?
Do you think torn on this. I personally hope not. I don't like Georgia, and I don't respect them as much as I do Alabama.
I don't either.
When I was a kid growing up, we went on in like a 9-game win streak against Georgia. So to me, Georgia's whatever. They're just kind of there. Yeah. I don't want to give them that kind of satisfaction that we.
But
tear
will
down the
will the fans in Neyland do it? Do you think,
they'll
do it?
Because these young fans.
Ah, really?
Better, but I would not. I would not. They,
I know. It.
Even though it's a big
if you're a
game, obviously
they beat Georgia and they've beaten you 8 years in a row. You're going to want to run down there and tear the goalpost.
Kids love this.
40 years old. I don't want to see it.
Kids love this. They want the viral moment. They want to be remembered.
I know. I just don't want to see that.
We're
I just
40
think
years
we're
old, man.
So
we're 40 years old. These young kids, they want it.
They want it. I know the younger generation. We're getting old now. I get it. That proves our age right now. Like when we're sitting here saying, don't do the goalposts. Let's just
not
take
for Georgia.
Care of
not for Georgia. You want to do it for Alabama?
Not for Georgia.
Okay. Not for Georgia.
That's a good point. Lord. Not for Georgia. It's one thing when you beat the greatest coach ever, Nick Saban. I don't care. People might hate me for saying that, but Nick Saban is one of the greatest coaches of all time. That's my opinion. If you
legendary.
Don't like that opinion, I don't care. I stay
if Tennessee
facts
beats Georgia tomorrow,
show.
It does not surpass Tennessee beating Alabama in 2022.
100%. That is exactly where my head's at. Even though it'll feel good and it's a huge win for Heupel and the team, yeah, man, it's not the same. But anyway,
I would
all
rather
right.
this be like a loser leave town. Tennessee gets to shave Kirby Smart's head, his dumb haircut at the end of the game, and throw that in the Tennessee River.
You got that right. You got that right. That's amazing. You know, I'm going to say, I really think we'll be set up in a position. See, I know it's hard when you say this security, but I really think they're going to be ready for it. I don't think, even if we win, I'm going to go ahead and predict it. I don't think goalposts are coming down. I think they're going to have security in place for this one. I just think it's crazy. I agree with you, man. It's not going to happen. D's, real quick. All right, let's finish this up. Give me your prediction.
All right, so all year, all off season, all week, really, I've felt like this is going to be a good game. I think Tennessee's going to hang around. I'd still just have kind of felt like Georgia would be the one to win. And then I'll tell you what. Who cares about my prediction? If I'm wrong, so what? If I'm wrong, so what? I'm a Tennessee fan. I bleed orange. I want to see Tennessee so badly kick Georgia's ass tomorrow and undo 8 years of losing to them. I want to see our season set up so we can go to the playoffs again. I want Joey Aguilar to be Joey Football nationwide. I want him on a track to win the Heisman. I want him to have his moment tomorrow. I want all the seniors on the team to have their moment tomorrow to finally be the team that beat Georgia. I tell you what, I was talking to a friend of mine named Ruben the other day, and I'll tell you, Ruben, he told me, he said, sometimes you just got to go with your heart, man. Sometimes you just got to go with it. So my heart over my mind, I'm going to take Tennessee tomorrow. I'll go Tennessee 27, Georgia 24 in Neyland Stadium. We take down Georgia. Thank you, Ruben.
Ruben, let me tell you right now. I like you. I don't even know you. But the energy you just put into David D's right now, Mr. Ruben, wherever you may be, you might be my new best friend, Reuben. And it's not because I love a good Reuben sandwich. And I do love a Reuben, let me tell you. But now there's another reason why I love a Reuben. David Dees, let me tell you right now. That's awesome. I love how you worded that. Reuben, Shout out, my man. Hashtag Ruben. That's what's going around social media this weekend. Go Vols. Hashtag Ruben. That's great. All right, guys. For me, and then the show is over. And then we'll talk again after Tennessee wins this thing. Short and sweet. Tennessee, I called this before the season even started. I said if there's one game Tennessee's going to win this year that most people will say we will lose to, and I said it was the Georgia Bulldogs. I said it before the season started. I said it at the end of last season. I said it's going to be Tennessee's year. It's the setup is perfect. It couldn't be any better, guys. Tennessee's winning this game. I say this with confidence. They're winning in Neyland, and that score is going to be 34-27. 34-27. The Volunteers will be victorious in Neyland Stadium because John Ward said so. Give him six. What did he do? He only scored. Touchdown, Big Orange. Let me tell you guys, this is it. And you better be ready, Vol fans.
On the way out, there's two big trades that were made this offseason that put Tennessee in a position to win this game tomorrow.
Okay.
The first trade was trading Nico Iamaliava for Joey Aguilar. The second trade was trading Bob Kessling for Mike Keith. Go Big Orange! Woo! Kick George's ass tomorrow!
You hear that? You hear that, Mike Keith? Bobby Kessling? You hear that? I love you, Bob. This isn't we hate Bob moment. I love you, Bob, and everything you did for the University of Tennessee, but I'm going to tell you right now, Mike Keith, I speak for everyone on the Hill in Vol Nation in Neyland Stadium at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. We are glad you're calling the show in Rocky Top. Woo! That's going to do it for us, guys. We hope you've enjoyed the show. And from all of us here at good old Rocky Talk, we say good day. We say go Vols. And we say let's beat the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll see you next week, guys. Hopefully 3-0. Guys, enjoyed it. Have a good one. Go Big Orange.